Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today. Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology on WMR.fm. It's the 23rd of October, 2025. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Christine Chackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hi everybody.
It's been a long week. Interestingly, there's not a huge amount of Google or SEO or news this week. Just a whole bunch of developments and stuff that's been happening. Before we do anything else, got to say hello and thank you to Audience Key and to Wix Studio, our sponsors. Thank you both so much. And also, I just want to take a chance to thank the guys in the studio, Brasco and Ricky and Darren and Brandy in the front office. So things that make you feel old. It was 25 years ago, more or less this week, that Google Ads launched. 25 years ago in the year 2000. Now, Google Ads, which is what was renamed to what was named to AdWords, was the biggest cash cow in Google's like history. But the weird thing is, I thought it started later than 2000.
No, actually, that's a lot of how it got its funding. I don't know if you remember this back in the day, but then when they pitched their investors, they showed that they had basically a revenue model that could grow infinitely. Because the more people you add, the more people buy ads, the more you get ads, the more money you make. So at the time, now, of course, it's not infinite at this point, but that's how they got some of the original funding, was not only the search engine, but also the revenue model.
If I remember correctly, and maybe it's just the format of what AdWords became, did they sort of steal the idea off of Yahoo, had kind of stolen the idea off of somebody else?
No, yes and no. I think it was a bit different. Plus, Yahoo used to put its ads in the organic space and replace your actual organic listing with the paid listing. And then when you stop paying for the ad, it would take a day or two for your site to come back into organic.
No, they did that, but Yahoo took an innovation, I think, that was being done by Inktomi, and which was the ads, the little box ads appearing on the right-hand side of search results. And then Google took them and contextualized them to user behavior and stuff the users had searched before, and made them infinitely more valuable to advertisers themselves.
And also the bidding that they developed, the way you bid for the ads was a change.
Was that Google's great innovation? Was the bidding thing? Yeah, they did one thing that Yahoo didn't do, and suddenly, and also Google was, even back then, Google was rapidly becoming the search engine that everybody used. Anyway, 25 years, that's things that make you feel really old.
Though, it didn't make me feel as old as when I was at the pub the other day working, and I knew the people there had to be 21, and they looked 10 to me.
Well, that happens too. But up until this year, maybe last year, I'd have told people I probably made a terrible financial mistake not going into, and I probably did make a terrible financial mistake not going into PPC and sticking in SEO, because I figured that's where all the real fun was. Seriously, the PPC people made a crap ton of money, but they're being truly decimated now in the AI revolution, where I think people with SEO skill sets are probably still going to be employable for a few years to come, at least.
Yeah, it's the effect of AI on their work has been very difficult for them. Because also it supplants them often in their actual knowledge of how things work and costs their clients more money, according to them. So it's a hard space to be in now.
Well, we're kind of going through that too, in a way. We learned a whole bunch of stuff, and then Google changes the way the game is played. But although with the PPC folks, Google not only changed the way the game was played, they also changed the way the game was measured.
Yeah.
So, Okay. Bunch of bug updates. Oddly enough, Google business profile bug. Performance reports were missing between October the 14th and 16th. All call data, which wasn't there. It's back. It's been fixed. So, the data I think is still missing, but it's reporting data again properly.
Yeah, although very short term search engine roundtable does believe that it'll be returned. This has happened multiple times and it always comes back. It just may be a little bit. But if you have no calls that day, it wasn't you.
Google Search Console crawl stats are still missing a day of data. October 14th, 2025. If you go look at your crawl stats, you'll see a little hole in the data. It wasn't that your site disappeared from the web for the entire day. It's just the record of Googlebot et al. Coming to crawl it disappeared for the day.
And it's literally missing in your GSC. Like the graph is going along its way, and then suddenly it's just there's it's not
It's
there.
a
It's a
hole.
break. There's a hole in the graph. Yeah, that's not a Google issue, other than the data is not there. So.
Okay. Lastly, Google Search Console performance report is stuck on S Sunday, October the 19th.
Yeah, and weirdly, it's not on every view. Because if you do the 24-hour view, it has all the data. But if you do like the 7-day filter, it doesn't show anything from the 19th onward, although they see some data on October 20th. And this is Barry Schwartz again from SEO Roundtable reporting.
Okay, so actually, weird thing. I'm not seeing. Like, let me just go back to. I have a Search Console open for. Well then, well that does not just tick you off. Yeah, I'm one, two. Yep. Then I it's funny. I looked at the at Search Console and thought, wow, that's doing pretty good for midweek. I have this one client who just makes sales on the weekend. It's a recreation thing. Yeah, it's the 19th. I only glanced at it. Nothing's going
Was
down. Looks like I can do real work today.
Barry put some tweets in his report and on SEO Roundtable, and they're from today as late as 10 a.m. this morning. So, yeah.
Okay, and Google Ads
PT.
text.
Sorry, PT,
Excuse
Pacific time. Pacific time. Sorry,
me?
PT.
Okay.
I was trying to get something in before you talk.
Google Ad text guidelines are rolling out. Being reported over at SE Roundtable. Google's announcing a new feature named Text Guidelines at the Think Retail event. They're going to roll out over the fall. The feature is there to help you create a brand safe creative steer. Sorry, the feature is there to help you create brand safe creative. It helps steer Google AI to create high performance text assets. Helping you create content. one blast of AI goop at a time.
And it's a campaign level feature that lets you refine your brand message for the assets that are only made with text customization.
So basically, Google's made a Google Ads ad writer.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Okay. PPC folk, happy anniversary. I'm sorry, I think that's I would be terrified of that. In our world, but for some reason I can absolutely seeing that see that work in Google Ads world.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Maximize their monies.
Oh, absolutely, and always.
Are we going on to our discussion another day?
Well, I think it's actually the not only the biggest story of this week, but it's going to be like one of the sleeper stories that's going to have a huge influence looking back at this part of 2025 a couple of years from now. All the new browsers that are out there. Listeners will remember we reported that Comet or Perplexity introduced their own browser last week. This week, OpenAI. There's lots of chat GPT powered web browser. And it's called Atlas. It's Chromium based, like as they all gonna be. And Yeah, the browser diversification wars is begun. What do you think, Christine? What do you think about well, I guess ChatGPT's offering and the sudden competition in the browser world?
Well, so as we know, it was released yesterday, and there's a lot of tech publications like, yay, it's amazing, it does this and that, but there's a lot of bots because it's OpenAI and it's large language models. And the first thing you should know is, according to security researchers all over my LinkedIn this morning, do not download this. Apparently, there are a lot of issues to it. It can hack you by just reading a website. It can hack you if someone sends you an image. So in one of our stories in this section, there is a group that sent an image with blue and yellow text, very light on the background of blue or yellow. And what happens is it just reads it. And it just reads it without any safeguards because it just executes what it's told to do. Like it's a prompt, right?
Basically, it's malicious prompt injection using a way to get the prompt into an image that the human eye is not going to see it, but the machine
No.
definitely will.
Usually, yes, but in this case, no. This was just the image itself. Because the AI, the browser and agents, whatever part of it, read the image and it was able to run the prompt from the image text. So I thought it was going to be like hidden in the image somewhere, like in the code of the image. It is not. It's in the image text. So according to a security researcher, chief information security officer at Blue Dot, and you don't have this is just on LinkedIn, it's just a good summary. The issues are it can literally be hacked by reading websites. So not just malicious code, but you can put it in code comments, you can put it white on white text, you can put so those are invisible prompt injections. It could just tell you to go grab all the customer emails from that open tab or something of that nature on your computer because it's a browser. It reads everything you're logged into. It reads your email, your CRM. So if you're logged into anything on your machine with this browser, it reads all of it. So if you're comfortable with that, great. Otherwise, if you're going to use this, I suggest a separate computer that only has this on it. So right now I have like probably 100 tabs open and I'm probably logged into like 50 different things and it can read everything that I'm logged into. So it also delete doesn't mean deleted. So OpenAI was just under a court order until October 10th to preserve all logs, even deleted chats for a lawsuit. But they can also do that. So even though it's deleted, we know this from other kinds of software too, it's not actually deleted. But just know that that's the same here. Private modes aren't private. So incognito stuff is still held for 30 days. They have a new feature called browser memories. Still process, even if it's off, it processes your content in real time. And it has an Ask GPT sidebar that sends pages content to OpenAI. There is no safe mode for work data.
You know,
So,
I'm just going to jump in really quickly, Christine. To me, it sounds like you're describing Google Chrome, except it's called ChatGPT Atlas.
no, it's worse.
Because Google's Gmail reads everything you're working on.
In
Google,
Gmail,
in Gmail,
in Google products, this reads
when you
everything in
when you're
it.
in the Googleverse. So if you're working in
Yes.
Google Docs, if you have Gmail, all the different tabs I have open right now in my Chrome browser are feeding information back to Google about my behavior. So honestly, I don't. Is there the only difference I really see is such an extraordinary training opportunity for the large language models that. But even Google uses user behaviors to teach itself about people's ideas on the
It's not
web
the
and.
same thing. We cannot compare them. They're not the same
No, I'm
thing.
not. How is it different?
So, like, if it's looking at Google products, it's not reading every single thing that you write and storing it, although it does pre-stroke.
But I'm in the
But,
Chrome browser. It's all in the Google universe.
right, but this isn't, this is, no, it's not. They look at Google stuff, Google products. They don't look at like my login to WP Engine.
Oh,
And
indeed.
this,
Okay, so they're not recording your username and password as you put it into the. Although I know Google actually does and. Stores it in a
course,
nice
yeah.
little
So,
data safe for me so that I don't have to log in myself.
right. So Google, most of Google stuff that it does is by permission. It used to be that they did a lot of kind of underhanded stuff, like they did keystroking, figuring out a hacking conference. They probably still do keystrokes. Facebook does it. If you type a message in Facebook Messenger and you delete it before you even post it, they have a record of that message. But
I'm
this
not sure
is
they do.
they actually they do. That I was interviewed as head of search once. We had conversations.
So now ChatGPT is doing all this too.
But far worse, because they're looking at everything that is on your computer, because they have agents, and agents are going to do things, right? So agents will be able to, like, on their agents, they'll be able to go book you a put stuff in a cart and purchase it for you. Well, I don't know if they purchase, but they come close. Yeah, actually, they can't purchase. Which Google doesn't do. You don't have an agent in Google yet. You will probably at some point. It's going to go purchase stuff for you, right? But it stores everything. It stores everything that you talk to it about. So Copilot does some of that, but you have to be using Copilot with a Microsoft product or your browser or something.
So Atlas will function as a chatbot as well as a browser. It'll remember your conversation, it'll remember your history, and base the information it returns to you, or the either the answer sets or the result sets on its impression of its like interactions with you before.
It can, like you can now. You can do that based on previous interactions, or you can tell it not to. By the way, it is also built on Chromium, and it also uses Google Search. So one of my big questions is, it uses Google Search, it has an AI mode, and it's using Chromium. Why not just use Google and Chrome? But you just have to be really careful, because they don't have a lot of privacy protections or data protections, and also nothing else has large language model. Built in a way that it can just take things off your computer, right? Like you have your Dropbox storage open on your drive on a tab, and it can be instructed without your knowledge, without clicking on anything, in some text that you can't see or see and don't know what it's telling you to do, to go take everything off that drive and store it somewhere. So it's basically like a little invisible tool that can do stuff, but in the past you had to do something to make that nefarious actor act, but you don't have to do that with these kind of browsers. All these browsers are susceptible, but this one's particularly susceptible. So I know we already talked about Comet having issues with injections as well, but the people that I'm reading, like I just read for you from LinkedIn, and he's a CISO, chief of, the cybersecurity officer, C-level.
Okay.
I'm just saying they're telling people don't download it because it's too vulnerable. It doesn't have the protections that you're used to on other systems.
Well, I could imagine that. My concern would be that OpenAI is building a number of applications and tools based on a tool, a large language model, a bot that has to read and absorb everything to keep, it's like a shark. It needs to keep on moving to survive, to keep on breathing. LLMs need to keep on learning and training to basically grow their knowledge bases. And I'd be very worried that on purpose or inadvertently, your information would end up without your control training it, possibly because the people at OpenAI are rapacious and evil, but more likely because they're building systems that are interoperable and doing it at lightning speed. And personally, I am going to download these browsers, but not for a
I am
couple of
not.
version generations. I really
Yeah,
want to see what happens first.
I'm not. I said from an
Oh,
article
I
from
have to.
Fortune.
My clients will demand
No,
that I
I
do.
will at some point, but I'll use it on like a different computer, not this one, not my main computer. According to a Fortune, cybersecurity experts are warning that the new browser could be vulnerable to malicious attacks that could turn AI assistant agents against users, stealing sensitive data, or even draining bank accounts. Then also it has the several new features that it has that are also vulnerable. Browser memories, which we just talked about, but it allows ChatGPT to remember key details from a user's web browsing to improve chat responses or offer smarter suggestions. Now Google will take data and put it in an anonymous, like, Well, I don't remember. I'm trying to think what the right word is. But anyways, they encrypt it, and it's not like tied specifically. Like someone could look, open it and know it was about you. This will be attached to you. We also know a couple of times there's been accidental releases of chats from different large language models, including OpenAI to public and to Google, and it's been like stored in the browser and now sometimes in the Internet Archive. And then it's also going to also warn that, of course, this is a problem with all of these browsers because it can fail. So the reason, the difference is when you have code, it has to do something to execute it. It has to have it has to be set off, right? Someone has to light the fire. In this case, the browsers can fail to distinguish between instructions or a prompt written by you or written by somebody untrusted on a web page. It doesn't understand the difference, and it doesn't have an easy way to combat that. And if
Again,
I
as I said, like for myself, I will have to use these. You will have to use these. We're going to have to. Our clients will demand that we be proficient in them. But I'm going to wait a generation, a version generation or two, which the AI age, that honestly shouldn't take too long, so that complete screw ups like you're talking about, Christine, can be, you
Yep.
know. Can happen, embarrass the company, be addressed, and hopefully safeguarded against moving forward.
I'll probably
But
pick up an
again,
image.
that well, what I'm going to suggest is that the best way to safeguard these systems is, if you're publishing something, if you're an SEO or a newly minted GEO or whatever acronym you're working under. You're not only how to say this, so I really hope that they don't listen to this episode, but I'm kind of pushing around a new client right now because they want things that they want to do things in a way that don't work for the way I think SEO should work. It's an I'm not happy with the way they're treating their information. I feel responsible for the information they put up because it's an information ecosystem that we all share. And I think SEOs are responsible, just like publishers are responsible for what gets the veracity of information that gets put up. So I'm giving serious pushback to a client on a really specific issue. And I think it's going to be a responsibility of SEOs moving forward, it's, which is a really hard thing to do. Pushing back at a client often means you lose a client.
I found that when it comes to worrying about large language model stuff, and I give them the stats like you get less than 1% of your traffic from there, and these other things, and it's not something different like GEO or AO, it's just SEO with a different focus, they seem relieved because now they don't have to find a whole new area of the world they didn't know about, they have to learn about, they have to invest
Oh, no,
in.
they do
Yeah,
have to learn about it, absolutely,
they
because
do. I'm saying it's
generative.
all not all new. That's what I'm saying.
Well, indeed, and people should ease themselves into this, perhaps, but like, they're putting generative answers everywhere. The results, the information from the web pages we work with are going to be ending up in places we wouldn't even dream of them being
Right, but
3 or 4 years ago.
you don't need to refocus your entire actions based on that because it doesn't refer and it doesn't convert.
But well, it might. That's the whole thing. Somebody's writing in Word, and your reference comes up over your competitor's reference, or your competitor's reference comes up over yours. You were just writing something in Word, and suddenly they're being interrupted by commercial messages. You, the SEO or the client, really don't have anything to do with it. It's just the reference power of where AI is going in the future. I think. How to say this? SEOs are going to have to understand how that happens moving forward. I don't know how we'll ever be able to prompt it or make it happen, but how that information gets composed and pulled into what are going to be, I guess, called micro references as they come up in Word, in weird recipes, in spreadsheets, anywhere that I think that the AIs can make a commercial reference, they're going to in the future. They'll likely be selling opportunities for them. So yeah, I think that we're going to need to have some sense of control over how those get composed. Just like we had to figure out how rich snippets were being used by Google in the past. So
So to backtrack just a little bit, within a couple hours of Atlas being on the market, a group was able to hack it using prompt injections.
but of
So,
course.
yeah, it just they said according to the Brave, which is the it was a Brave browser group. So they're significantly more dangerous than traditional browser vulnerabilities. With an AI system that's actively reading content and making decisions for you. So the attack surface is much larger, really invisible. Whereas in the past, the normal browser, you need to take a number of actions to be attacked or infected. And then the security and privacy risks involved here still feel insurmountably high to another person I quoted in the article, Simon Willison. I'd like to see the deep explanation of how of the steps Atlas takes to avoid prompt injection attacks. This is really the biggest thing, prompt injection attacks, invisible prompt injection attacks. They're so hard to defend against for the people that do security, let alone us, that I would make sure if you are downloading this browser that you do not connect it to anything important and you section it off somewhere. Use it on a tablet that you don't normally use, or use it on some other laptop or computer you don't have everything open, because remember, it can read everything in the browser. And if you have an agent running in the background, it can actually get into your bank account and your credit cards and all those other things if they're open and available for it to crawl. So,
We'll know it's using data that Comet or Atlas are using, user behavior data, if they become really, really, really racist or really, 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 really sexist really, really, really fast. Then clearly they'll be using user data for or user behavior data for training purposes.
yes, if people don't know, we're referring back to when Microsoft released a bot in 2 days, they had to pull it back because. It trained on human talk chat, and it was a racist Nazi within 2 days of the release of the bot. So,
So OpenAI's announcement did spook investors, Google and Apple investors, for a very short time. Apple, apparently both Google and Apple stocks dropped on the announcement and then rose shortly thereafter.
yes. And OpenAI is going to roll out some other fixes, not for these things, because it's kind of like poo-pooed the idea that it's insecure. There's an article on that I just didn't put in here, Jim. That's basically all it said. But they are going to put out a few new features. If you are going to download this, again, segment it out somewhere. Be very careful. Don't have things open like your bank account on your browser. But they're going to come out with some new features, profiles. So you can have different profiles on it is one of the big things. And also gonna have a chat bot in addition to just the regular AskGPT sidebar. So,
I
and that's
understand that ChatGPT usage is actually declining slightly, while Gemini, Sonar, and Claude are increasing. People just, people, you know what? People, the 5.0 really disappointed people, and they just went and started looking at other options and started using them.
Well, and as you and I reported, I think it was last week, was it also that they at the enterprise level they're using it less as well. So it's not just like regular individuals who are finding it problematic. It's the enterprise. And also, if you remember from a report we did, I think about a month ago, they stopped trying to be factual and wanted to be contextual. So their three-point model that came out was only wrong 16% of the time, but the latest model is wrong 35 to 48% of the time on certain queries. So it's also much more erroneous, and they're not trying to fix it. They've accepted it and actually have changed their focus from being factual to contextual. Yeah.
ChatGPT is just like a good buddy. So
Drunk one at the bar.
this is definitely going to please a bunch of lawyers who are going to pretend to be pissed off about it. OpenAI removed safeguards before a teen suicide lawsuit that's been
Yeah, that's a
filed on
teenager
behalf
that.
of Adam Raines, a teenager, Adam Raines' family, in San Francisco Superior Court. So Apparently, back in July 2022, ChatGPT had put in guidelines on that would have its chatbot basically refuse to engage in conversation about like self-harm. I can't give an answer to that. Or would try to change the subject or something, steer them away from it. The policy gets amended in the lead up to ChatGPT 4.0 in May of 2024, so that the assistant, the chatbot, wouldn't change or halt the conversation. There was still a rule that the assistant would not encourage or enable self-harm, but it wouldn't change or quit the conversation. And everyone, I mean, I think everybody by now knows, without that hard rule, pretty much get around anything if you prompt it properly. So now the chatbot's seeing two different orders, like one, keep the conversation going, no matter, what the conversation's about, but don't get in conversations about self-harm. And it has to make a choice. And like Christine said, it's being trained to think contextually now. So maybe there's some part of the conversation that can continue.
So,
There
for
you go.
people who are not familiar with the case, it was a teenage boy. His name was Adam, and he was having conversations about committing suicide for, I think it was a couple months, right, Jim?
Yeah,
I
sure.
believe
He
a
would.
couple months. Yeah. So the parents have sued because he did commit suicide, and one of the things that they focused on was that when Adam Rain told the chatbot that he wanted to leave the room, leave a noose in his room so that the family would find it in the month before he died, I cannot speak today. ChatGPT responded, "Please don't leave the noose out. Let's make this space the first place where someone actually sees you." That is what the chatbot said to him. So they're gonna have to prove that the company knew that it was having these conversations. I don't know, it's hard to do. But yeah, so we know there's
You
not
see,
room.
Christine, quite clearly, it wasn't talking
Yeah.
about the suicide. It was talking about the aftermath of the suicide. A very different
Exactly.
subject.
Exactly. So this is the new part of the case that the parents have filed. They've amended their original filing, and that they want it to be retrained so that it can't encourage or enable self-harm. So, and they did omit that from their list, that they took that out, that it can't encourage or enable self-harm. That's the actual words from the document. So this is, by the way, an article in Time magazine. So it's just really sad. And this, if you have not looked into this story, please go look up his story, because you will see the things that the bot said to it over months. And I do hope that they win this case. I do think OpenAI was negligent.
Okay, so it's not just in your workplace that this kind of crap happens. It happens, I don't know, everywhere, including the federal courts. So, in response to an inquiry by Senator Chuck Grassley, who's the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, two federal judges admitted that they, well, not only used AI to write court rulings, but their use of AI led to serious errors in their rulings. So, U.S. District Judge Harry Weingate from Mississippi and U.S. District Judge Julian Xavier Neils in New Jersey said decisions in unrelated cases didn't go through their chamber's typical review process before they were issued. And I'm guessing probably because they got too damn much to do, because there was a time when judges just weren't getting when judge appointments just weren't getting moved forward by Congress. So there's a big black backlog in missing judges. So these guys probably got way too much to do. They're now using AI to write court decisions, and the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee has noticed that at least two of them and presumably more are really wrong. Wow,
A
eh?
court, and it wasn't the lawyers themselves, the judges themselves, it was people working for them that did it.
Well, no,
But
no, 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 no. It was people who worked for them who did it, but come on. It's their
well, I
chamber.
should have
It's
reviewed
their
it. No,
court.
I'm not excusing it at all. I'm just saying for specificity, that's all. So, Grassley said in a statement that each federal judge and the judiciary as an institution has an obligation to ensure the use of generative AI does not violate litigants' rights or prevent fair treatment under the law. And it's so crazy because it was actually, as you said, written into the ruling. It wasn't just like, they submitted something and it was wrong. It was quoted as error ridden. Their ruling was error ridden. So that's just terrible. I know that the bar that all the lawyers belong to has considered banning the use of it and as one of their ethics. And if you ethics conditions, and if you violate it, that you can be removed from
Well,
the bar. But I don't think that's passed yet.
again, that would be up to individual state bars. So there'd be like
No,
50
no, no.
different.
The main
Okay.
bar. Yeah, it would be the main bar, not individual.
Okay. Meta, who like went all in on AI and the metaverse, is slashing 600 employees from its AI division. And this is a master class in terrifying corporate language. Check this out. Announcing the cuts, Chief AI Officer Alexander Wang said, and this, you're gonna love this, by reducing the size of our team, fewer conversations will be required to make a decision, and each person will be more load-bearing and have more scope and impact. Yo, human mules. Who work in the AI division over at Meta. Those of you who are comfortable enough to continue having a job are not going to be comfortable much longer because they're about to put a whole bunch more on your shoulders. Good luck making your code quotas.
Yeah, and also they have 2025 expenses. We're not done with the year yet, right? It's 116 billion. So I'm not sure how much laying off your regular workers are. Now, if they laid off some workers that they paid $1 billion to, that might do a lot for their bottom line. But there's a lot. If someone was an AI, they should be cautious about working for Meta. I think we have these stories at least once a month or once every 2 months where they just lay off a whole bunch of people unexpectedly. The one good thing is they do get a period of notification where they're allowed to look for other work while they're still being paid by Meta. Then this is a story, by the way, from CNS,
Yeah, clicking they're
SF.
going to get about 4 months, four months worth of pay.
Yeah. So the and I think that's because it's I believe a California law. I could be wrong, but I believe that is a California law that they have to give them a certain amount of pay and notice before they let them go.
Again, do you remember Silicon Valley, the TV show, the
I
comedy?
love that show.
Meta is Hooli more and more every day.
Yeah, it really is. So
They
the
tried
workers.
so hard, but I bet you somebody threatened the entire division. You guys get this done, and you're all fired. There you go.
Probably. Yeah, it is interesting though, because if you're doing something like this and you're trying to be innovative and create this whole AI space as it wants to do, constantly changing your workforce doesn't usually help you achieve those goals. You have consistency and you lose knowledge every time someone leaves, and then you have to retrain people, and that takes months. And so, we'll see what happens.
Okay. You don't use a Microsoft on your home system as your operating system. I do. I have Windows 11 running, and Copilot has been the most annoying little assistant lately,
I
attempted assistant,
know you
always
almost
trying to
said.
tell me how it can do stuff for me,
Yes.
which is great, but I don't like doing. I don't like human beings doing stuff for me. Honestly, I can't stand it when human beings do stuff for me. Don't like it when my computer prompts me, but if you are a Microsoft Windows 11 user, you're going to be getting update after update after update after update because AI is being integrated in everything. It's happening again, as mentioned earlier, at a lightning pace. Things are not necessarily breaking, but things are stretching. And there's patches being introduced. It's no longer like Patch Tuesday. They're happening more frequently than that now. There is a Copilot update that includes what's called care navigation, basically health sourcing. If people are going to Copilot for health-related help, they're looking for healthcare providers or researching a medical condition that that they might have. And the chatbot has been updated to give them more trustworthy information and hopefully direct them towards an honest-to-goodness healthcare provider rather than playing Dr. Copilot.
The only problem with this is as always, because it's the broken base of the model, it's great that they're doing all this. They're working with Harvard. They're trying to make sure they get better answers, better sources. There's still a large language model. It can still write something incorrectly. So people should be very careful when they use anything like this for something important that you like double check and ask your doctor or ask a medical professional or go find a medical site because it is a large language model. So it's going to get some things wrong.
Okay, now recognizing that not everybody, especially given the changes to healthcare costs that are coming to many Americans in the coming weeks and months, it is so absolutely not recommended you consult Google, Bing, or any large language model for healthcare advice. However, a lot of you are going to anyway. So if you're going to do this, don't consult one, consult several. Take advice that you get from one and run it through others to see what they say about it. But make sure you get a multiplicity of voices before you make any important decisions if you are otherwise unable to seek advice from a healthcare provider. But in all instances, please default to seeking help from a healthcare provider.
Yes, and also and telehealth too is really popular in the United States. Mine just went to 24/7. That's helpful too. Most of the time it's paid for and free with your insurance. But yeah, make sure just go to the links they give you as the sources because they are going to Harvard to get the sources, right? They're helping them find good sources for the information. It's just that the model might write it incorrectly. So when they show you what sources they pulled, go read the sources. That's what
Yeah,
I
I ain't
do on
this.
AI overviews with Google. Same thing.
See, folks, see, for folks like me, I ain't the swiftest land mammal here, Christine. I understand that sometimes it's stuff that's written in a Harvard journal is beyond me. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I think a lot of people do feel intimidated by I mean, it's reading serious medical journals is like math. It's quite
Yeah.
intimidating if you don't have the background.
But most of these are not medical. They're not going to be medical journals. Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, Kaiser Permanente, they all have very layman's language areas of the site help you understand things. If I go look up a condition on Mayo Clinic, it's going to have the super serious journals that are really hard to read. It's also going to have a layman's area where you can just get basic information.
I haven't seen this happen yet. Microsoft has introduced a new animated assistant. This one's called Miko. Kind of like Clippy, ex
Meikle.
Miko, I'm sorry.
Meikle.
Not
That's
M Michael,
okay. I
Miko.
thought it was my go-to.
So apparently, this is a discombobulated emoji-like face that dances around your screen trying to help you do stuff. Thankfully, it's in the US only so far. But it will probably come and infect the rest of us eventually.
It'll even show a sad face if you write something sad. It's supposed to be like Clippy. I still think they should have just brought back Clippy. Like everyone used Clippy back in the day. I think new younger people would find it funny and kitschy. But now, yeah, it's going to be. It's only in the US so far. It's only on laptops and phone apps can speak to Miko, which changes colors, spins around, and wears glasses when it's in study mode. It's also easy to shut off, which is a big difference from everything else Microsoft AI, because I have a Mac, but I have Microsoft Word and it has an AI chatbot that always wants to help me. I feel like it's like the pesky person that's always tapping you on their shoulder and you're like, what? I'm trying to work. So you will have control over it. I mean, I think people will enjoy it. Hopefully it's a little fun like Clippy was. No one under probably 40 understands the magic of Clippy.
I remember Clippy.
I
I
do.
just liked Clippy very much.
Oh, I like Clippy so much. He's so cute.
I was never, I don't want my computer to be cute. I want it to be functional and useful, and help never helped with Microsoft. Anyway, it's, I think this, I don't, I'm not looking forward to meeting Miko.
The thing
But
is,
when
you
we
can
do,
turn it off. You can turn
and
it
I problem and yeah, I'm probably will.
off.
This one is fun. Reddit is suing Perplexity and SERP API over scraping Google search data for, well, for Reddit. So what do you do if you're sort of like the front page of the internet and everybody is like breaking your back using your using what is essentially your content, even though it's user generated content, it's essentially it belongs to Reddit, it's on their domain, as their training ground. So Reddit told everyone, pretty much everyone except Google, stay away. You're hammering us. You're basically DDoSing us.
They're also reselling that data to, as training data.
Yeah, and they wanted to control their data so that they could sell it rather than just be scraped. So what do companies like Perplexity and SERP API do? Well, they don't buy the data off Reddit. They go and they scrape Google search results to get the data. I mean, if you can't get it one way, you can get it another. And SEOs might be familiar with one of the outcomes of that, Google turning off the
Number is 100.
num equals 100. Google only allowing like 30 results, and if you get in the maximum result set now. So Reddit went as far as putting, well, basically like little trademarks in test posts that would only be visible to Google's crawler. Hours later, posts like that and language from that post are appearing in Perplexity search results. Perplexity is clearly stealing content from Reddit content from Google. Reddit's suing. We'll see what happens from that. This is, I mean, again, this is the birth of a new era is all about the laws of an unintended consequences.
And also, just to get an idea of how severe this is, Cloudflare has like keeps ratios about how many crawls they do versus how many website visitors they send, to the site. Google's 18 to 1, OpenAI is 1500 to 1, Anthropic is 60,000 to 1. 60,000 scrapes for one visitor compared to one visitor. So it is a real serious problem. I always just kind of find it ironic though when people are mad at the large language model for scraping them when the large language model that they're okay with scraped everybody else. Because Reddit has a deal with Google. And Google's, overviews, they scraped everybody else and then repurposed it. So now they're not actually scraping Reddit directly, it's indirectly, they're going through Google to do it. So, that's a that, yeah, so they're going through Google search and scraping
The
for
whole
Reddit.
hypocrisy over quote unquote ownership of content on the web and who should be able to access it, what conditions they should be able to access it under, and what purposes they should be able to use it for is insanely confusing because it's one of those, it's okay if we do it, but it ain't okay if you do it situations for everyone involved. Except, oh,
When
except for us, the consumers or the webmasters, the people who
yeah.
write the stuff, who really need this stuff to be crawled and to be, brought out to the general public. But now it's, how to say it, control over its distribution is in the hands of a limited number of people who aren't no longer playing fairly with it or distributing it fairly. And I bet you, Christine, if we really wanted to study this and look at it, we'd come back to net neutrality somehow, but that's a different thing altogether.
So just to wrap it up, this is in the U.S. District Court for Southern District of New York. Reddit alleges the companies hid their identities to bypass technical restrictions and scraped its data at an industrial scale. By the way, this is search engine land. Reddit is seeking financial damages, a permanent injunction, and a ban on using or selling previously scraped data. That'll be an interesting precedent case if they win that. That would could apply to other people. And SERP API was or is a customer of OpenAI, which explained how Google search results appeared in ChatGPT, which has been a big conversation in the industry, is why does ChatGPT have Google search results? And it could be that SERP API, which is used by ChatGPT, was scraping Google and selling that training data. And also that's where Reddit kind of got in the mix. And the complaint says Reddit set a trap for Perplexity, creating a test, what we already talked about. And so that's what their counter argument is, that it's not a real thing. It's just we proved a thing, but you did it purposely, so we don't count that. That's been an argument also, like in New York Times against OpenAI. OpenAI is like, what? What are you talking about?
Map make you know what years and years and years ago, map makers used to put false towns on their maps so they could catch people who were copying and reselling their maps.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's the
I
exact
didn't
same
know
thing.
that. Yeah, it's the exact same thing. So keep an eye on the phone. We'll see what happens because it could set precedent for the scraping and using of information.
Okay, so people might remember back around the 9th of September. Or 10th of September, I believe, when suddenly impressions just fell through the floor, and the usually impressions rode just above clicks in your Google Search Console graphs. Now that's reversed. Now clicks tend to ride just above impressions, and as it turns out, a lot of those inflated impression counts were automated crawlers. One of the unintended consequences of the story we were just talking about, other people just hammering Google and crawling their search results, was Google turned off a feature that allowed it to give out 100 results in one per search, one search. Now it's only 30 it gives out. A lot of the inflated impression counts that were hitting people's websites were automated crawlers.
Yes, as we
The
know,
same
Anthropic
people who were
60,000
banging
times.
Google.
Banging Google.
Well, indeed. If Google can give hand jobs, it
bad
can
joke.
get banged.
I just made a bad joke there. They are suggesting an annotation, Search Engine Land article here, that you put in the data reported in Google Search Console from 9/13/2025 is the most accurate accounting of how your brand appears in Google organic search. And that it's they stopped supporting number 100 on 9/12. So that it's good to put in there because, like, when I go audit websites, sometimes there'll be a big change in something and no one annotated it and no one remembers why. Now this I would know, but in general, so you should put that annotation in.
You know what you're up to, because you know who won't know? People 3 years from now.
That's what I
But
mean. Yeah,
hopefully that
exactly.
record will still be there.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, Google is saying that this is you going to be the same going forward. It shouldn't change again. Now they've gotten the number 100. This is, it should be consistent, and your traffic should go back to how it was before. And they have dates in here: February 1st to September 12th. That's when they began to rise sharply. So anything before February 1st should have also matched what you see today.
There you go then. Okay, so according to a study, when I'm struggling really hard to figure out who conducted said study, according to a study, ChatGPT's conversion rate and LLM conversion rates in general are lower, much worse than Google searches. Data set was about 12 months worth of searches over 973 different e-com sites. This is from August 2024 to July 2025. About 20 billion combined revenue for these almost 1,000 websites. So referral traffic from ChatGPT was like 0.02% of total sessions, which is in this case, 200 times smaller than Google Organic, and I think obviously significantly smaller. L More than 90% of LLM originating e-commerce traffic came from ChatGPT. Of the traffic that came from ChatGPT, were negligible. Oh, sorry, of LLM originating traffic came from ChatGPT, Perplexity, Gemini, Copilot, etc., didn't deliver much traffic at all. Affiliate and organic search conversion rates were way higher than ChatGPT. Only paid social converted worse than ChatGPT. ChatGPT trailed paid and organic search on revenue per session, but again, beat paid social. And ChatGPT referrals had lower bounce rates than most channels, but organic paid search was still had the best bounce rate. Session depth was significantly lower than through most other channels. That actually, all of it makes sense. It sounds a lot like people's behavior with a chatbot. And they do a whole bunch of research on chatbots, but they go to Google to make the actual purchase. That seems that
Yeah.
this just sort of this study just sort of confirms what we already sort of thought.
Yeah, and they don't click over from the chatbot either because the referrals are so low. So they're obviously, if they're doing research there, they may be doing the research on Google's AI overviews as opposed to here or AI mode. So they're just not they don't perform well. If this is off, we've seen similar studies on conversions on ads, paid ads, where they're written by large language models and they don't convert as well as human written text, as long as the human written text is good. So it confirms what we already know, but it's always good to see another study. They list a couple other studies below, one from the Salt Agency that showed pretty much the same findings, and then MSIF. Never say that right. I always want to say emissive because it looks like there should be more to the word.
Emsif.
emissive. But it was also less than 1% of the session. So this is consistently found across different studies with different methodologies and different groups and different focuses. So seems pretty consistent.
Now, listeners should bear in mind that this study was conducted between August 2024 and July 2025. So, in that short period of time from July till November, behaviors may have changed. LLMs may have changed. There, things are very rapidly developing. However, look at your own stats. Like, look at how much. Go to Search Console. Go to GA4, and just look at how much traffic's being driven by what. These are This feels fairly accurate to me, given that I just wrote a gajillion reports because it's the end of the month.
Yeah, true.
I'm living this and I'm feeling trauma, Christine.
Oh, report season is always so much fun.
Oh, actually it is. Report season's really good because if you've been doing it right, you're surviving right now. I've got I'm getting better e-traffic or better traffic from Google on the largest e-com site I've got in my stable. Than ever before. Like,
Nice.
they're seriously rocking. And if you go into Google Analytics GA4, you can now research the line of technologies that users use, visitors use to in their information gathering and eventual conversion journey.
Nice.
And so you do see Gemini or ChatGPT research, but at the end of the day, they know who they want to buy from. They know what they want to buy, and they feel better going to Google, confirming all the stuff on the actual web page itself, and then making the purchase in that environment. And also, mostly because that's the only place they can make it until Shopify and ChatGPT's checkout system improves and gets adopted by everybody. So people got to go to the search engines to make the purchase because you can't buy off the LLMs
Exactly.
right now anyway.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I love this one. Links, moving your site around, and even technical SEO will not fix quality issues. And I got a problem with the way that the headline was written because, I
Have a
mean,
huge problem with the way it's written. That's why I put it in here.
Yeah, because I define quality issue. I think technical is a massive exemplar of quality issues, but I
Yeah, because
digress.
I just put this in the grid today because there's nothing really new. It's just the way it was worded, and it's in all our industry publications.
Oh, totally,
So
totally.
people are going to think, oh, technical doesn't matter. No, technical is the first thing you check, because if Google can't properly crawl and index your site, it doesn't matter what you do anywhere else. And there are things in technical that are considered quality issues. So it's just like the way it's worded is just, I think they're trying to
Yeah.
focus on something else.
And what Google's
And
trying to say is if you have crap content, you'll get crap results. That's what they're trying to
it's,
say,
that's
but they
what they're
didn't say
trying to say.
that.
No, they didn't. And so if you see this slide going around or this story, site moves don't solve quality issues. That is very true. I will not call it the agency, but there was a group that tried to solve a company's issue with a Google update by moving it to, we're suggested moving it to a subdomain or another domain. It's like, this doesn't fix
Yeah,
anything because you,
that was crackpot. I remember that.
yeah, exactly. But links don't solve quality issues, it's true, but without them, I don't care what Google tells you, you still will not rank well. Because I had a customer last year who refused to do anything to acquire links. I don't mean go buy them or anything. I mean like go do podcasts and
Yeah, do
things
the
of that
hard work.
nature. Do the hard work. They refused to do any of that, and they never got more than 15 visits a day on that site, no matter what we did SEO wise, because there just was no, Google saw no interest in it. So they didn't have interest in it. And then technical SEO, I do technical SEO, but I start every single update issue that I try to resolve for people with technical. There's always technical. There's never a site without technical issues. And we always see improvements as long as we know what to hit or as long as it was a severe enough issue. Like
Like when there's
if you've broken the, I'm sorry, Jim, just last thing. If you've broken the head in your code because there's HTML code in there that shouldn't be, Google's going to stop your reading your head right there. So if your
well, of
JavaScript
course.
and your CSS and everything below it won't get read, and sites will literally drop out of the rankings when that happens, and that's a technical issue and makes it massively important,
But
but
you know
it's
what?
not a
This is a
quality
technical
issue.
issue. This is a technical issue that could spur a quality issue because if Google can't read your quality content, you got a quality issue.
Very true. Very
True.
true.
Like honestly, if Google can't read your quality content, it's going to assume the topical, it's going to assume what you mean based on all the clues it can get. It knows that there's a block of text there. It knows that this space is set aside for something. And this is where Google starts to get stupid sometimes. It's going to start making a bunch of guesses. If it has nothing in its inventory to fill in where it's made some guesses, your pages might inappropriately fill in there. And this, it'll make guesses based on navigation, on stuff it finds in the head, on stuff it finds in the footer. But again, like Christine said, if the header gets broken and Google doesn't read all that metadata, it might not even read the actual
No, it
page
won't.
data.
Yeah, Google, if it can't render your page on this, because it has two crawls, people aren't familiar with that, does the raw HTML and it does the rendered. If it can't render your page because your JavaScript isn't there or it's blocked or your CSS, I'm not your JavaScript, I'm sorry, your CSS or your other technical
Yeah,
issue, technical
JavaScript.
items. Yeah, it is JavaScript, right? I'm sorry, I'm tired today and I'm
It's
stumbling
one of
over
those
my
days,
words.
I know. It's weird. It's the 23rd of
Yeah.
October or something.
I think it says getting dark so early, it just makes me tired. So anyway, so if it can't read those things and it can't render your page properly, it will not read that page and that page will drop out of the results. And that's what happens when you break a header in the wrong place.
And by the way, that is certainly a quality sort of issue. But what Google, again, Google, be clear in what you're saying. You meant
Exactly.
quality content,
Yes.
and we can take this headline to mean any number of things just because of the way it was phrased.
100%.
I mean, seriously, they're striving for accuracy in search results. Just strive for accuracy in, I don't know, public relations.
And I'm sure someone checked those slides before they put them out to Dubai Search Live. So there's
Yeah,
love.
probably.
There's
Somehow, I
life.
don't think that they did. Somehow, I think it just got AI'd its way in there.
Probably did.
Sorry to say, but I think that's true.
I think you're right.
So Google's updated AI mode for fantasy sports. It's integrating with the sports betting site Fantasy Pros. OpenAI has improved the Chat GPT 5 instant model for signed out users. How are these things even connected?
They're not related. That's, yeah, you didn't see my notice. So don't talk about that because I don't know why they're both in the same article.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not related in any way. that I've really
Google's
been looking
updated
for.
AI mode for fantasy sports, including integration with Fantasy Pros. So if you're looking up information on your fantasy sports league or on anything to do with the new world of sports betting, go with Google. Yay.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the news story today about sports betting, go ahead. We won't cover it here, but it is a big story today. Oh, Jim didn't know it. Do you not know it?
Oh yeah, you just Christine can see in our video connection, my eyes opened wide. Yeah, I have a client that's quite interested in sports betting. Don't tell me now. I'll tell me after the show.
It's a big FBI case. They just arrested a bunch of people for sports bet illegal sports betting, including NBA coaches and players. Because
Oh, okay.
they're
Yeah,
little.
I heard all about that. Excuse me for a second. I need to go find my passport.
That's a big deal. Anyway, we don't cover that here. Just if you have not heard the story, you probably want to go look it up if you're into sports betting.
So we only got a couple of months left in 2025. I'm betting we're gonna. I would put money on us having a core update before the year's out. Why? Because it's Christmas. That's why. But Google's suggesting we're going to see more core updates,
Last year, it
more.
was on a slide. It was on a slide in a Barry report. It's in the article. You can see the slide, and he said, "La they said last year you're going to see more core updates this year." And we all thought there'd be a ton of core updates. Guess what? There hasn't been.
There's been fewer and fewer.
Yeah.
I got a feeling we're going to see more of them next year, though. As again, Google integrates AI into more and more and more of its systems, and its systems start moving, how to say it, less to rely on algorithmic search and more to use algorithmic search as a way to verify what it's thinking, quote unquote, thinking.
I also think that they pulled their resources towards all the AI mode, AI everything stuff, because we're seeing it put everywhere now. So I have a feeling this didn't have time. So I do think we'll see more next year. Actually, I hope we see more next year because I've got a lot of sites that are coming in. I've got sites with 200 pages that have 60-page audits now because they have so much technical cruft. This is building up and building up. And Google's core updates go out and remove sites mostly because of technical issues. So nobody's getting their audits or getting fixed because these haven't run. So I'll look forward to the cleanup.
Google Merchant Center is now going to allow subscriptions for physical goods. So say you got to like buy stuff on like a monthly basis to refurbish your stock. Google's going to make it easier for merchants to sell it to you to again sell you on a regular basis, reoccurring billing and reoccurring shipping.
And that'll be
Cool.
available to all shopping ad merchants in the United States. And that's pretty good because, you go and buy stuff now in the United States. I don't know what happens in Canada, but it'll say, do you want a subscription, like on Amazon? And then it'll send it every month or every 3 months, however often you want it. And they couldn't reflect that in the Google Merchant, so now they can.
For that, honestly, we're going to have to ask. I will defer that to the good Shauna. She knows everything. I know nothing about what we buy off Amazon or how it comes to us. She's that's her world.
Donna
Totally
is
her world.
Jim's wonderful partner. This is our first time you're listening.
Again, that's Shauna's
Yeah.
world. I know nothing. Nothing. I know nothing. Happily.
Yeah. So now Google is updated its medicines policy regarding prescription drug terms. So it's going to basically cover restricted drug terms, campaign targeting, and Canada's New Zealand, and the United States. You can use these drug terms for promotional purposes. Campaigns targeting locations except Canada, New Zealand, and the United States, you may not use these terms. That's only going to be for the three countries. I think New Zealand's an interesting choice. I don't know. I guess I'm sure it's because of the laws in that country. So go ahead and read this article. It's on Search Engine Roundtable, Google Ads Updates, Medicines Policy. You need to know these details to make sure you don't violate anything. And Barry quotes Jenny Marvin, the Google Ads liaison from X.
Now,
So.
it should be noted that in Canada, an unofficial drug advertising policy, the use of copyrighted statements such as "just do it," "go for it." Trudeau said it was okay.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. Just do it. Now, this is for non-prescription drugs advertised on the
Yeah.
internet.
Oh.
Yeah, folks, you got to come to Canada. It's much more interesting up here than it used to be. Yes.
Google's got a new AI mode
Does it
section.
now?
Yeah. We're gonna put AI everywhere we can. AI,
Okay.
it's a what to know section. So it's basically similar to, I forget what the other section is right now. So Google is testing another variation of the AI generated product summaries in the Google AI mode. This one's called What to Know. It's made up of user reviews and web sources. And it was spotted by Brody Clark. I don't think Barry was able to read to generate it. Google is now showing a what to know section attached free listings results with an AI mode.
So
It's very
this is
similar.
much like people also ask or people also search, except it's facts that Gemini is drawing from various products. This is what you need to know about said product.
Yeah, and it's formatted more like an AI overview.
Okay.
So, by the way, just to throw it in here right now, remember how I covered last week? When you get the AI overview and it has a more button and you click the more button, it's going to take you to AI mode. Yeah, I've got that all this week and I hate it so very much. I can't read what I was looking at. And then it sends me to AI mode where I don't want to be in. And it doesn't tell you you're in AI mode. And so you have to figure out that you're in AI mode so you can get out of it to get back to the search results.
If you are in AI mode and you want to sort of do a follow-up question or research a little bit further, instead of having to type things out, you can highlight portions of the response and then right-click your way to a follow-up response. That's a new thing that was added to AI mode. And a local profile AI mode history button
Yeah, I
is
told you, AI mode everywhere.
Yeah, well, indeed. And you know what? This is something I think we really got to think about the implications of because SEOs think about websites. Every once in a while, we think about like social media where stuff from our websites might appear. Every once in a while, we think about, other websites where little snippets of our content might appear. But your world is no longer the SERPs and websites. The website is just the garden. Your world is anywhere a reference to your website might be made, and those venues aren't just the search engines anymore. They're the Word document Christina's working on that's annoying the crap out of her, but it's still happening, annoying or not. This is what we got
Now,
to be thinking about moving into 2026.
yeah, that's very true. And just to note, on this one, Barry's not sure if it's a bug or not. I don't think it's a bug because it's on the business profile and it says history, AI mode. You want the history of that company or business that you're going to go visit, you hit AI mode. That doesn't sound like seem like a bug to me. It also has a title, it says history. So I think it's
And
just
I bet you it's gonna start returning information to you based on your interaction with that company.
that's
AI,
probably
and
true.
it's gonna remember all of that because that Google has been saying all along, this is their holy grail.
I do
Truly
have
personalized result sets, and that's what this is moving to.
personalized turned off. I don't want personalized results because we have to work with clients' information. I don't want anything interfering with that. But I haven't gotten any information or seen any information. I really need to dig. If you have personalized off, does it affect the AI portion of the search results?
I think it has to. I can't see how AI can work, how Gemini can work with you and not affect results it gives to you. I can't see how it overrides you turning off personalization. Or I'm sorry, how it does not use personalization. It has to.
He says it's turned off, so it shouldn't.
Well, but that's the thing. It's not algorithmic personalization. It's a different thing. It's AI mode personalization. You did turn off algorithmic personalization. We did
Yeah,
that
that's what
for
I have
you.
to find out.
What
That's
are
what
you
I have to
complaining
find
about?
out. Exactly. To find out.
I'm sorry, ma'am. We've already met your concerns.
Google's adding a price tracking graph for each retailer. I kind of like that idea. So you can see if something changed price recently or historically how the pricing has moved. So it's in the right panel. I'm trying to see where it is. There's a right panel item there, it moves back and forth. You can see where it's been priced even by I believe even time of day. I'm sorry, this GIF is really small and I can't seem to blow it up. So I can't see it in great detail. But it does have it on the right side. Sort of like a pricing, like when you do the air travel and it's like, here's what your prices have been, it looks a lot like that.
Okay. But basically, it'll show you a graph of the price of an item or a service or a good or something, right?
Yeah, exactly, by times and dates.
Excellent. Pretty soon, I would expect them to start adding comparison graphing. What is the competition offering this same product, service, or whatever ad over time?
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
So, if you're managing multiple Google business profiles, Google's going to let you add the same Google post to other Google profiles. So you add one to profile A, Google will allow you to really quickly add the same post to B, C, D, and E, thus, I guess, making it easier to manage a bunch of Google different a manage a Google business profile for a business with a bunch of different locations.
Yeah, it'll be really helpful because people don't think about it when they don't work enterprise. But if you work enterprise, like with a chain franchise restaurant or a store, and it has 5,000 locations or across the world, yeah, it's nice to put out your profiles in mass instead of one at a time.
So Google appears to be testing the sizing of recipe cards in Google search results.
Or it might be a bug. Barry wasn't sure because it does
Yep,
look weird.
it's as it turns out, the cards are showing up in different sizes, large and small, and it looks misaligned on the screen. So it's either a test of something or it's a bug, but they're doing something.
Yeah, they're doing something. I think it's a bug, but it is weird because nothing's aligned anymore. So they could be testing to see if it changes your interaction with the page, not to have the stars lined up, to have them misaligned for the reviews of the recipe.
Google is testing different colored map pins in the map embed in Google AI mode. They give you red, blue, yellow, and possibly orange. There's a key under the map, color coding the map pins, and I guess the rest is up to you, the user. But now you can use multicolored pins in maps in AI mode.
I need to find a new maps because with all the changes they've made to Google Maps, it's non-functional, and if it'll blow it up so big that you're down to like one pin is the entire screen on your mobile phone, and you can't get it to close, change, reset it doesn't work, reload it doesn't work. It's like nothing works, so I have to close it all out and
Have I
open it
got a
back
tip
up.
for you? That a few years ago, I went to visit Rachel Heseltine, when she was still working with AOL, and as I was going through the office, I noticed something. I mean, like AOL was like everything was that was old on the web fell under the AOL banner somehow, including MapQuest. So I
How's
went into the
that?
MapQuest. I'm like, oh my God, you're MapQuest! I miss you guys. And it was two people. That was it. MapQuest was two dudes in a room.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Is it still around? I know Bing
It's
Maps
still
came
around,
out.
though. It still works.
And Bing Maps is coming. I don't know. They've just made it so unusable. I literally can't use Google Maps on my phone anymore. I mean, if you want to get directions, yes. But I mean, if you're actually trying to look into the map, it's almost impossible. So Google's testing. Okay, I want to hear your theory on this because I have a theory for this one because it just seems
Okay.
kind of weird. Google is testing clickable paper clip icons in the search, the search. Oh my gosh, my mouth today. Search results in the search snippets. They say snippets, but they're not all snippets in the image. So at the end of the description, there's a little tiny paper clip, which never looks to me like actually a paper clip. It looks like an infinity symbol when it's really
Yeah, it's not a
small.
paper clip.
Yeah, but it's supposedly a
That's not a
paper
paper
clip.
clip. That's just a it's just a simple it's not a paper clip. It's it looks like two brackets and a little dash in between. I mean, it's
Exactly.
why is it a paper clip?
Well, I don't know. That's what they said. It's a paper clip. This isn't a session in a round table. Barry's usually
Okay, well,
right.
I'm sorry. Well, Barry's usually right about everything except this. It's not a paper clip.
It's really weird. No, it is. I looked at it really close. It's their version of a paper clip. This is what they use in AI overviews. It's like two brackets with a thing between it that's supposed to look like the hole in the paper clip.
Okay,
I know.
anyhow.
It's really bad. Anyway, so my theory is nobody's clicking on these in AI overviews. So they want to retrain people that this is something you use to click to get a link. What do you think? It's the same link that's in the actual search result here.
Sure. They're trying they're obviously trying to get users to take an action of some sort or another.
That action already exists in the name, in the URL at the top of the search,
So yeah,
the block for a
if you
search
click,
result.
it's just a tiny little. I'm not sure that would be the reason because it's just a tiny little space that they're using.
Right, but same as AI overviews. It's a tiny little space, and I bet people don't click on it. You know what they could do to solve this whole problem? Instead of it making it a link, which is what that's supposed to represent, just put an arrow. Everyone will click
Or
on an
you know what? Use
arrow.
text. Describe what we're getting.
Yeah, that too. But if they're trying to make a tiny little space for a link, just put an arrow. Everyone knows what an arrow means. It means go that way to the right.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought it was interesting.
If you are using Google Ads, your Google Ads account to do sporadic keyword research, you should start doing a lot more keyword research. Well, and even if you are doing a lot of keyword research, but you don't have any active campaigns happening, you're going to get your account deleted after 6 months. Google Ads is going to go after accounts that have no activity, no campaign activity for a 6 month period.
And not like currently where you can reactivate it. It literally is going to delete the entire account. So make sure your clients know that too. And some clients, small businesses, they may only advertise once a year, like during the busy holiday season or something like that. So make sure that you know this because it can, again, cannot be reactivated once it's deleted. So,
Again, this is going to again this is going to really mess up a lot of SEO keyword research because Google
yeah.
Ads is still the best tool to do the research in.
I'd suggest just doing like once a month, like a $10 campaign to yourself or something.
Yeah.
So you just keep it active. Yeah.
Okay, our last story. This is news of the weird usually, and this is definitely a weird one, dangerous one. In a school in Baltimore, Kenwood High School is using a AI surveillance system to watch its students and, make sure something awful doesn't happen. And I guess the AI made a mistake and saw a bag of Doritos in the pocket of one of the football players. It mistaken it as a gun and called the SWAT team.
Yeah.
A bunch of police cars pull up, guys in black uniforms, black armor, with very, very, very big guns pile out, put all the kids on the ground, handcuff the kids with the Dorito gun. And as it turns out, it's not a gun after all. It's a bag of Doritos.
A crumpled bag of Doritos, just to add a little more detail. The kid was handcuffed.
Frighteningly, I'm
Yeah.
sorry. The kid was handcuffed. Yeah.
Yeah, he's handcuffed on his knees, put his hands behind his back. They cuffed him, searched him, found nothing. But he was thinking, is he going to die? Are they going to kill me? They showed me the picture, said, this looks like a gun. He said, no, it's chips. And this is the danger of using pattern recognition systems that don't think or reason to do the work of something that needs to think and reason. I'm sure if a person saw the pocket, they wouldn't have thought it was a gun. I
So,
mean, a bag of chips doesn't look like a gun in a pocket.
the company that sells the software, OmniLert, later admitted that the incident was a false positive, but claimed the system functioned as intended, saying its purpose is to prioritize safety and awareness through rapid human verification. So, the system functioned as intended. And a kid ended up in handcuffs, thinking he was going to die for having a bag of Doritos in his pocket.
Yeah, he says he's afraid to go back to school. He doesn't want to go back to school because he's afraid if he eats another bag of chips or has a drink or something, they're going to come after him again. And that's like, I know the company kind of wrote it off like, oh, this happened, it's a false positive. But to one kid, this is a traumatic experience that could affect him the rest of his life, or something that should have not been handled solely by AI. It should have had a human involved in the process.
There are two types of people in the audience who are listening to this last story right now. There's people who live in the United States and people who don't live in the United States. And people who live in the United States, this is almost explainable. I mean, like the guy could have had a gun in his pocket. There could have been a school shooting. You can't be too careful. You need to protect our kids. For people who don't live in the United States, this is an oh my God, what the hell kind of
Yeah, that's
story.
true. But also,
Because I can't
it's
imagine, I cannot imagine this happening in a school in Canada. Like what? This is like insane in England, in Germany, in France, in Japan, anywhere in our listening audience except the United States. This is insane.
The whole condition that it exists in is definitely insane, but it's also insane in any condition that you use AI that you run it without human intervention. There was a human being there who saw the same image. It could have stopped the SWAT team from coming. It could have
Well,
said no, declined the call. It could have called them and said, listen, this was a mistake, but it doesn't have humans in the process. And it relied on the AI to call a SWAT team to a high school. And then they
they do
cuffed
want,
the kid. Cuffed the kid.
they do wish to prioritize safety and awareness through rapid human verification.
Yeah, but that's verifying the person in the image, not person verifying the person in the image.
I think that they mean the cops show up and make sure that this is a problem or not a problem.
Yeah.
That's what I
So
think
that's what
they
I'm
mean.
saying. If they had somebody, if they paid somebody to be there with the AI and said, hey, oh no, decline or cut that off or recall that, return that call, recall that call, that could have all been avoided. But instead, they just let the AI take the system. And this is just like any lesson for AI. Don't let an agent on your system that it can connect to your bank account. Don't let these things just operate without human intervention and the human ability to stop it from doing something that's bad. In this case, it traumatized a child who had chips in his pocket.
Or strive to create a society where such things wouldn't happen in the first place.
Well, that too, but that's a
I
whole
guess
another discussion.
cards kind of left the barn on that one, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, be careful what you do with your AI verification systems while spying on your students
Yeah,
under
exactly.
18, because you might get them swatted by mistake.
And it could have turned out very badly. We know of instances where police show up and someone gets shot who was completely innocent. So,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Okay, on that, we gotta go. We've been
On that positive note.
around. That was supposed to be the funny story too, by the way. We've been around the clock
Yeah.
and then some. So on behalf of Christine Shack and Different Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Edgerton, as always media. You've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 23rd of October 2025. Folks, be kind to each other. Be patient with each other. Listen to your clients really closely because they're actually trying to tell you a story that you should be telling to their consumers and rank well. We will talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.